This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to begin with the words from the great St. Thomas Aquinas. For many of you who know, St. Thomas Aquinas was a wonderful Dominican. And my husband is a Third Order Dominican, so he always reads my sermons, and he was very excited that I was quoting his hero, St. Thomas. So we should all be grateful for St. Thomas. I don't know if you know this or not, but without St. Thomas, we wouldn't have Aristotle and Plato, because there were people that wanted to burn their works, and he stopped that, which was great. Thank you, St. Thomas. So here's some of his wisdom about Jesus that I think is very profound for this day of Transfiguration. Sing, my tongue, of the Savior's glory, of his cross the mystery sing. Lift on high the wondrous trophy, tell the triumph of his king. He, the world's redeemer, conquers, death through death now vanquishing. Born for us and for us given, son of man like us below. He is man with man abiding, dwells the seed of life to sow. He, our heavy griefs partaking, thus fulfills his life of woe. Word made flesh, his word life giving, gives his flesh our meat to be, bids us drink his blood, believing, through his death we life shall see. Blessed they who thus receiving are from death and sin set free. Low in adoration bending, now our hearts our God revere. Faith her aid to sight is lending. Though unseen, the Lord is near. Ancient types and shadows ending, Christ, our Paschal Lamb, is here. Praise forever, thanks and blessing, thine, O gracious Father, be. Praise be thine, O Christ, who bringeth life and immortality. Praise be thine, thou quickening Spirit. Praise to all eternity. Amen.
Amen.
So my question to you today is, how many times do we underestimate Jesus? Like the disciples, we just don't get the power of Jesus. He's kind and sweet and gentle and forgiving. And he has that all-powerful vulnerability that we really don't understand. Like Moses, we often respond to God's call. Who, me? You want me to do that? You want for me to go forth and establish your kingdom? In our lives, we face obstacles and challenges. Do you keep your faith when you're doing that? One of my favorite shows is Ted Lasso, and he shares with the football, for British people, American people, soccer teams. Do you believe? Believe. So consider, what do you believe about Jesus? And how do we build a solid faith on the rock of our Savior? When we see the Transfiguration, we see a group of people who they think they know Jesus' position with God. Wrong. Jesus is so much more than they consider. God doesn't give in order to acquire, says Miroslav Volf. God loves without self-seeking. That's at the heart of who God is. God gives for the benefit of others. It's really wise, I think, for the disciples to be silent after the vision they have witnessed. As Jesus unfolds his mission to the disciples, he takes his time to reveal the meaning of his ministry. As St. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as also I am known." You see, we just don't have the entire picture. This is true with all of our lives. We often think we know other people completely. We think we can walk into a situation and judge the import of it. Nope. We are confident that our religious and political beliefs are absolute and the other viewpoints are flawed and wrong. Nope. Life's a mystery. When do we see images in the gospel that we can figure out and discern the vision of what God creates? Miroslav Volf continues and says, this is why we believe in Jesus Christ, to help us see what we are not, what we ought to be, and to help us become what we ought to be. Jesus, the Anointed One, is above Moses, the law, and Elijah, the prophets. The law, which is seminal to our society today, our civilization would not function without law. The word Torah is Hebrew for law. The concept of law in Western civilization is seminal. It comes from the Jews. We need boundaries. We need structures. The prophets, on the other hand, desire for us to repent and to experience God so profoundly that we live in the light of goodness. We need men and women who can hear the voice of the divine and share with us that we are off the path and starting into parts unknown. Humanity may bring in the kingdom of God through repentance and obedience. Jesus is all powerful, yet his power is not the same power that we see as humans. You see, Jesus' power is in compassion and healing and forgiveness and surrender. Transfiguration for the Greek Orthodox is called metamorphosis. So how do we change when we meet and encounter Jesus? I remember in seminary, one of the professors who was a professor of Greek gave the sermon on when Jesus comes into the room, everything changes. He is where the divine meets the human. St. Thomas Aquinas believes it's the greatest miracle, the miracle that God loves humanity so much that God gives God's Son to the world. God has given you the gift of life. You have received much. We are standing at the bottom of the mountain, often underestimating Jesus, the same way the disciples did all those many years ago. People also underestimated Helen Keller. Her success story includes becoming the first deaf-blind person to earn a college degree, think about that, becoming a world-famous speaker and advocating for people with disabilities before people even knew what disabilities were. Helen Keller is known all over the world as a symbol of courage in the face of overwhelming odds. And yet she was so much more. She was a woman of luminous intelligence, high ambition, and great accomplishment. She was driven by her deep compassion for others to devote her life to helping them overcome significant obstacles to living healthy and productive lives. Just imagine somebody born, she got the disease and then went deaf and blind at a very young age. And her parents, I'm sure, had thoughts that underestimated her. But then with her teacher, she was able to accomplish unbelievable things because she had that resilience. She didn't take other people's opinions about her. She said many famous things, but one that I like the most is, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. The disciples see Jesus but have no vision of who Jesus is. Eventually, Simon Peter gets it when he says, Lord, you are the Christ. May we see Jesus' glory in all his splendor. I remember when I was thinking about, well, actually, I wasn't thinking about it. I was with George Andrews, who was the priest at St. Andrews, and he and I would do services every Thursday morning and in the chapel there. And one day I was helping him because I was his, whatever he needed me to do. And he looked at me and said, Mary Ellen, you have a calling. And I looked back at him and said, I know I have a calling, but there's nothing I can do. I have a wonderful husband. I have two sons, my mother. I have my whole family's here. They depend on me. There's no way. What am I going to do? Take off 3 years and go to seminary? And he looked at me. He said, when are you going to just let the Holy Spirit work and shut up? And I did. He didn't say shut up. He said be quiet. Because if he knew George, he wouldn't have said shut up. But anyway, I did. And the diocese was so fast. And George was so wonderful. He got me a year at Virginia, and I just, boom. I was a deacon, and boom, I was a priest, and then I was very involved, and I was thrilled with being a chaplain. I underestimated myself. And not only did I underestimate myself, but worse, I underestimated the Holy Spirit. That was really it. Because you see, things don't work out the way you think they should. Things work out the way God thinks they should. And that's what we have to constantly think about. Although sometimes, wouldn't you just like to go to God and say, okay, really? Are you sure about this one? So may we see him in all his glory. May we embrace the majesty and the awestruck feelings that they must have had that day, looking at Jesus with Moses and Elijah, knowing that God gives us God's Son to show us the unexpected ways of living in the light. And I want to finish with a sonnet of Transfiguration by Malcolm Green. For that one moment, in and out of time, on that one mountain where all moments meet, the daily veil that covers the sublime in darkling glass fell dazzled at his feet. There were no angels full of eyes and wings, just living glory full of truth and grace. The love that dances at the heart of things shone out upon us from a human face. And to that light, the light in us leaped up. We felt it quicken somewhere deep within. A sudden blaze of long extinguished hope trembled and tingling through the tender skin. Nor can this blackened sky, this darkened scar, eclipse that glimpse of how things really are. Amen.
Amen.